Fair person outside.
Well, another, she was a district agent, a woman who, actually I've read some of her personal papers in the state archives, was a woman named Pauline Smith. Did you ever know Pauline Smith?
I knew Pauline Smith, but not well. Mm-hmm. I never worked in her district, mm-hmm. but I knew that she was well thought of mm-hmm. in her area, mm-hmm. and I did not know her well enough to say anything mm-hmm. except that I'm sure she did a magnificent job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was in charge of, it was very much the eastern, northeastern counties, mm-hmm. based in Little Washington, I think.
And I never worked that far down.
Mm-hmm.
I had a brother who was a banker in Plymouth, North Carolina,
uh-huh.
so I used to go down there.
Uh-huh.
He was first in Williamston and then went over to Plymouth.
Uh-huh.
And he retired from Plymouth,
uh-huh.
in fact.
Well, so did you, after you came here and you worked in this job that was both Extension and TVA, did you ever become just an Extension agent again?
Oh, yes. After, I became the home demonstration agent
mm-hmm.
after the first 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Edith Barrier, who was a home agent here, went to Raleigh as a specialist.
Hmm.
And retired in that job there.
Mm-hmm.
She's retired now. And then she was followed by, there were two people who came between that, and I still was floating,
mm-hmm.
you know, that
mm-hmm.
sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
whatever was to be done. And then I became home demonstration agent for about, I guess it was a matter of 4 or 5 years,
mm-hmm.
of the
mm-hmm.
17 years I was here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, after I was with Extension for 20 years, I retired because we decided to have that summer resort at Wonder View.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to help Jay Walter.
Mm-hmm.
I worked 1 year after we were out there. I had to work through 58 because I went to Roxborough in 38 and I retired in 58.
Uh-huh.
And we bought Wonder View in 57,
uh-huh.
so we had it a year before I retired.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. What kinds of programs were you doing at that when you went back to being an Extension agent? What was going on with?
Well, I had home demonstration clubs,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that, and I am proud of this, one of the things that we succeeded in over here was a citizenship program. And the reason we succeeded was because there was a woman in this county who got interested in it and pushed it.
Hmm.
And it was when the UN was being organized and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't get to go, but one of the gals in the county did go
mm-hmm.
and to the UN and made a report on it and all that. And we had a program going so well in this county that it was used in the entire district.
Oh.
And so this girl went to the various counties and presented that program,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that was pretty wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote poetry too.
Uh-huh.
So we called her the poet laureate
uh-huh.
of Clay County.
Uh-huh.
Her name was Theta Barnard,
uh-huh.
T-H-E-T-A.
Uh-huh.
And that's a strange name
uh-huh.
for a girl.
Uh-huh.
But she was Theta Barnard, and she left a legacy. She worked very closely with those people in TVA, and they invited her to Huntsville, Alabama, and she made talks to the groups. She was very good at that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it with a great deal of grace. I mean, she was the type that people would listen to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She had a good appearance. She was very attractive looking.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, she lost her mind.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was Alzheimer's
mm-hmm.
before she died,
mm-hmm.
and it would just broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I can stand anything except mental
mm-hmm.
troubles.
Mm-hmm.
I can go see people who are ill, desperately ill, and know what to say and do, but when there were two people in my life, Marguerite Bidstrup, who co-founded the Folk School, got in that condition before she died. And she was one of the best friends I ever had. If it hadn't been for the Folk School, I'd have never stayed here.
Hmm.
And I'm serious about that because it served a purpose in my life. I used to go down there all the time to every program.
Hmm.
But they were close friends of mine, and so I visited them personally, George and Marguerite Bidston. They meant a lot to me. And then another thing, Buck Creek Ranch was in operation when I came here, and I spent my first Easter Sunday over there because Papa died on Easter Sunday, and I had great difficulty going to church for many years after that. And it was because he died in 29, and it was a long time after that. But I met Mr. and Mrs. Latham over there, so Buck Creek Ranch in eastern part of the county and Folk School in the western part were the two places that gave me what I needed to really stay.
One of the things, too, that in hearing you describe your career and its teaching and then its extension was, it seemed that in extension it gave you the opportunity to move a lot, if that was something that you wanted to do, to try different locations. I mean, did you think that some agents liked extension work because of that? Or
I think that maybe they did, and I, it wasn't that I wanted to do it particularly, it just happened. It just happened. And I think that I'm just naive enough to believe that God intended me to come to Clay County. I think that, really. Because I was here when J. Walter needed me most. Because he and I were, we were awfully good friends. You know, at that age, romantic love doesn't, isn't the whole thing. But there's a deepening of affection that is a mature thing. And I'm sure that that was no coincidence that I came here. And maybe it wasn't any coincidence that I went to Roxborough. I don't know. You just don't know about those things. But I moved more when I was teaching than I did when in extension, because it was only two places.
Well, did you... enjoy teaching adults more than children, or were they the same?
No. I didn't enjoy it more. I enjoyed teaching children. Oh, it was just such fun. I loved them. And of course, I when I was at Roxborough, I mean the Greensboro particularly, I did the drama work in the school, the plays and all that. And I had fun with the children. It wasn't a chore. And I worked at night. I wasn't a typical person who had to have a boyfriend all the time, you know? And that was fortunate for me. I knew too much about boys, I guess. I grew up with them and I played with them. I didn't have any girls my age to play with in the neighborhood, but there was a family that had four little boys, and I played with them and loved them to death. They were good kids.
Well, did you, when you were in high school or even when you were in college, did you assume that you would work all your life, that you would have a career, or could you, what was your thinking along those?
You know, I don't think I thought that through. I really don't. Things just happened as I look back on it. I thought about that the other day, sitting here. I thought about, well, what has your life meant, and why didn't you make more goals, you know? To, you know, you advise kids nowadays to have goals, and when you reach those goals, to make other ones. I didn't do that. It just happened to me, and that's the reason I say the good Lord took care of me. Do you ever watch Touched by an Angel? Well, I've had a guardian angel all my life. I've also had a little red devil sitting up here whispering in my ear. Because I'm certainly not, I'm not a good, good person. I think I've been decently good, but I mean, you know, I don't claim to be pious and sanctimonious at all, but I do have a deep and abiding belief and faith, which has served me well.
So you were just kind of to open to what to experiences.
That's
and what
right.
life had to offer.
I just didn't plan. All I told you was that I didn't want to get married. I had a chance. I've had several chances to get married. One of them was just almost right out of high school. I was so in love you wouldn't believe. I just thought I would die if I didn't get married and that sort of thing. Well, of course, my brothers saw to it that I cultivated a different attitude, as well as my parents. But my daddy settled it when he said, Velma, I want you to look at this boy's grandfather. He said, you know, you don't marry a boy, you marry his family. I want you to look at his grandfather and his father and see if you want your children to grow up with them as their grandparents. And I didn't. I had that much sense. Well, the second time that I was about to get married, and I wrote to this boy every day for about 4 years. I taught school with him, loved him dearly. He was just as sweet and nice as he could be. So was his family. And then he went to Louisiana. He quit teaching school and went to Louisiana, and didn't do very well with what he was doing. I've forgotten, salesman for something. And one summer, this girl and I drove down to Baton Rouge to see him. Well, he lived in Opelousas, Louisiana. Well, we had a good time for a week. We went to Avery Island, and you've read about that with all the birds and everything. And he had this Negro man cook a duck dinner, and oh, I was entertained, I tell you. But when we drove through the country, he'd say, "Now that when they had the flood, you can see on those houses where the water came about 10 or 12 feet up on the houses." Well, you know, I decided that I could not live in Louisiana. There were too many nice places in North Carolina, and I didn't love him that much. And so I just didn't get married. And then I didn't want to. But I had more men friends than I did girlfriends. I liked men very much. I had one man friend whom I loved dearly, who was an alcoholic. That was when I was in Greensboro, and he and I were good friends. We weren't in love, never were in love, that type of thing. But he'd call me sometimes, and he'd say, V, I'm down here on the street corner. It's on whatever street, you know, corner. You've just got to come and get me. I can't get home. And I'd go get him, put on my robe, go with pajamas on at 9 o'clock at night, take him home. And he was a good friend of mine. I've had that sort, and I've had good ones. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had all kinds. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm a better person for having had the different ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, how old were you when you married Mr. Moore?
44. Uh-huh. I was 44 and he was 45. Uh-huh. And we had 48 years together.
That's great.
He was 93 when he died. Mm-hmm. We had a good time together. I tell you, I had a little breathing difficulty, so we decided to go to Arizona. After we were there one winter, we went back for 12 years. Mm-hmm. Went back to Arizona every winter. We would go back for, you see, we had the summer resort, and when we closed up, we'd just close up everything out at Wonder View. Mm-hmm. And we'd go to Arizona and spend the winter. Huh. Loved it. First year, we stayed in Benson. And that was near that famous place, Wyatt Earp and all of them, Tombstone. Uh-huh. We had Tombstone. We had the Sirikawa National Monument to go to. We had the Amarin Foundation right close by. Wonderful opportunity to see and understand and appreciate what we had in this country. And then we went down to Corona de Tucson, and that is the crown of Tucson, you see. It's at the east end of Tucson, about 1,000 feet higher. Mm. And there were only retirees there for the first 3 years. Mm-hmm. And now they have taken in other people. Mm-hmm. And there are some younger folks. But we had a wonderful time every time we went.
Would you drive out there?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, and that was the good part of it. Wally, J. Walter's son, was in California. He, when he finished high school, he decided to join the Navy instead of going to college. He was not a college type person. Mm-hmm. He did things beautifully with his hands, but he was not an academic mm-hmm. person. Mm-hmm. And so J. Walter agreed for him to go to Alameda. That's the country club of the Navy, they say. And that's where he took his training. Mm-hmm. Well, at USO, he met this girl and fell in love, and they were married when he was, I think, 20 and she was 19. Mm-hmm. And they lived together to have four children. They even came back here, and he had a job with, IBM, I think that's what it was, doing very well. And, of course, he was thrown with people who have cocktail parties. And unfortunately, he had the genes that J. Walter had four brothers. Each one of them drank heavily. J. Walter didn't even want to drink. How do you explain it, except by genes? Mm-hmm. J. Walter said, I wanted to go to school. I wanted to do this, so I didn't drink. I said, J. Walter, that's not the whole story. Because those boys were just as smart as you were, maybe. But they had something inside of them that drew them stronger. And I don't know. I just don't know. But anyway, Wally got on board. And he and his wife parted. And she went back to California at our expense for 3 or 4 years, at our expense, because mm-hmm. he wasn't making any money. When you drink, you don't make money. You spend it. I mean, you make it, but mm-hmm. you spend it. Mm-hmm. And so that's been our, mm-hmm. That was the one thing that shortened his life, mm-hmm. was worry. Mm-hmm. You know, work won't hurt you, but worry will kill you.
Mm-hmm. I worry a lot.
That's right. I hope you... do you have children?
No.
Well, no. I hope you can if you want to.
Well, it might be almost too late by now. We're both in our mid-40s, so...
Well, don't worry about it, because mm-hmm. life can be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And often is far more beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you don't have that particular worry.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I assumed the worry. Mm-hmm. When I told my family that I was going to marry a man with two children, one of them 10 and the other 14, they thought I had lost my mind. Uh-huh. So they all came up the first summer we were married to find out what a mess I'd gotten myself into. And they found out that J. Walter was a fine person, uh-huh. and they liked him very much, and so everything was all right.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And the children have been very, very nice. I tell you, I think you're talking about the good Lord looking after you. After we were married, I was talking to them one day, and I said, I know that you children are prepared to hate a stepmother. I said, I think I would have hated a stepmother. And I think maybe you have been prepared too. But let's see if we can sort of talk about it a little bit. And Wally said, well, what are we going to call you? And I said, he said, what are we going to call you, Miss Bean? And I said, well, my friends call me Velma. And I expect to be your friend. Why don't you just call me Velma? Well, Connie still does. She calls me Velma, and her children do, and her grandchildren do. Mm-hmm. But Wally, when he started writing to me from service, I was the one who wrote letters, you see. He started off Dear Mom, so he's called me Mom ever since. Uh-huh. But I think that the good Lord gave me that answer, because I told him, I said, I don't expect you to love me like you loved your mother, and I'm certainly not going to try to take her place with your daddy or with you.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can do that. But if I can't make a place for myself, then I'll get out. Mm-hmm. And I meant it. If I hadn't gotten along, I would have gotten out. Because, you know, life's too short mm-hmm. to live in turmoil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because they've been just as sweet as they. Wally just can't do enough for me. He still takes a drink, but he's gotten over it with his fourth marriage.
Mm.
So, we have been there and we have done that. And you can see why after J. Walter died, I didn't cry at his funeral, because I was happy for him. He told me, he said, I can't face having a cancer to die of. Well, I was happy for him, but But after about 10 days, I got mad. I was furious with him. I was here alone, and I screamed, and I cried, and I told him he had no business leaving me, and all that, you know. I was so mad at him, I could have killed him if he'd been here. And I told my nurse about it. I was having a nurse every other day then to give me shots for, it was Calcimar, for not calcium, but protein, which releases calcium. And I told her about it, and she said, well, don't worry about it. People, a lot of widows do that. Said they get mad. She said, don't worry about it. I was ashamed of it afterwards.
I think that's the kind of the second stage of grief.
Well, I guess it is, but see, I didn't know that. I had never been told that. But later, somebody gave me a book that said it was, so I felt a little better about it. I felt like I was at least average. But I haven't had a bad life. It's been every period of my life has been pleasant. And you know, not many people can say that. I haven't had a real bad, the only period I had, 1962, I got very, very puny. And when the doctor got to, when we got to Gainesville to Dr. Poole, he put his hand on my leg and left the prints of his fingers in that, and he knew what was wrong immediately, put me in the hospital. I had Addison's disease, same year that John Kennedy had it.
And what is that exactly?
Your adrenal cortex goes out, and your adrenal cortex is a gland behind your adrenaline gland, your adrenal gland, and is responsible for shooting the adrenaline up into your body to be used. Well, I was just flat. I didn't have any life. My hair looked like broom sedge. My skin was like parchment. And they had given me some cortisone because the local doctor knew that cortisone might help. So he gave me prednisone, which I never should have had. But anyway, I had taken it, and my face had swollen, you know, and my belly had punched out, and I had a belly for years and years and years, but my face did go down after Dr. Poole gave me the cortone acetate. That's what I take now, 37.5 milligrams a day. See, I've got it right here. This was my office when I was so puny. I had everything within reaching distance. But that's the only period of my life when I have ever had anything bad wrong with me. Dr. Poole said I wouldn't live but 5 years. So I sent him a picture of Jay Walter and me about 5 years ago. And had a cute letter from him. He said, everybody's entitled to one mistake. But I was glad he made a mistake. So I don't know why I was left. A friend of mine told me one day, she said, well, my mother could have told you why you were left. I said, what would she have said? She would have said, you're not good enough to die. I said, well, I know that's the truth. No, I don't know anybody else who's good enough to die, do you? She said, no, I don't. And I told her I was working on it. Getting to the place where I'd be good enough to die.
But well, now, I'm sorry.
You go ahead and ask me anything you want to.
I'm trying to think, what else did I have in mind to ask you? Well, you said that now extension has become more urban. I mean, in terms of what does extension do here now?
You know, that's what bothers me. You see, I made up my mind not to go to meetings after I retired because we had a district agent who used to come back to district meetings, and she made an ass of herself. And I made up my mind that I would never go back to any meetings unless I was invited. Well, I was invited a lot of times, and I did go and have a good time because I had sense enough not to make a fool of myself. And so it is different. They do it differently. They don't go out in the county and stay. You see, I didn't do any work in the office. I just could not stay in the office. I stayed in the county all the time, visiting here and there, churches. I used to go to the church services out in the county, and that was good for me and good for them, too. And I miss it now.
Would you kind of use that as a way to recruit new members, or...
No, I didn't use it for that. I just liked doing it.
Uh-huh.
But it probably did recruit new members.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it necessarily did. I had 8 good clubs
mm-hmm.
when I was working. And then Ruby Carpening, who was the last home agent here, I believe, actually until Pam Staten, she had 8 clubs. But they've dwindled now down to just 1 good county club.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all right, as far as I'm concerned,
mm-hmm.
but I just don't have the, I mean, I can't see how it's helping very much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We help people. I can't explain it to you because my vocabulary is such that I really can't, but we didn't only help them with income, but we help people become themselves
mm-hmm.
to attain their somewhat of their potential. None of us ever attain our potential, we're told. Maybe you will someday, because you're working on your doctorate now, aren't you?
I finished that.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe you were working on it. Well, that's what I mean. That people, that's what's wrong with people in the world today. You know, they ask themselves or ask somebody else, who am I? Well, you ought to know who you are. That's easy. You're God's child, and he's in charge whether you realize it or not. He has a purpose for this world, and we have messed up his purpose for these United States. I think this was actually the promised land as far as, I mean this seriously. I'm reading the Old Testament all over again, and I'm getting a lot out of it I never got before
mm-hmm.
because I'm older and I hope a little wiser. But we had a potential here than which there has never been an equal, and I doubt that there ever will be. I think maybe Alan Shepard saw it from the moon, or in during his flight,
mm-hmm.
from what I read about him after his death. And I think John Glenn possibly has some idea of what it could be. And I think that's why he got into politics,
mm-hmm.
to see if he could change something. Mm-hmm. But you see, it's impossible looking to change, but don't you think he's made some difference?
Mm-hmm.
And don't you believe that's why he got into politics, to see if he could make a little change?
Mm-hmm.
And it's why a lot of kids get into clergy. I had one last night. I told you,
mm-hmm.
The boy that was a Duke intern,
mm-hmm.
and I think that he's making a difference where he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little area, but that's all it's required of us, is that niche where we fit.
Mm-hmm.
And my niche happened to be Clay County.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I think I was designed to come to Clay County, whether it's true or not.
You're talking about your experience here. I think I told you that I talked to a woman named Elizabeth Sanderlin, who she's almost your age. She worked in Currituck County.
I remember her.
And I talked to her last summer, and she talked a lot about wanting to be out with the women, that she didn't like being in the office, and she was constantly, and she never minded going to night meetings or doing whatever it took.
Either. We had night meetings constantly and had a lot of fun doing it. We had fun. The county agent when I was here was a guitarist, and there was a man working on TVA who played a mandolin,
uh-huh,
or whatever,
uh-huh.
and we would take him with us to meetings, and
uh-huh.
we'd have fun singing, and then we would get our points across.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
mm-hmm.
it was just like an evangelist,
mm-hmm.
does. You know, he creates stuff and gets them in a mood. Well, we do that same thing, and it was very successful.
Uh-huh. Well, did you ever meet resistance from women in terms of what kinds of things you were teaching them? I mean, sometimes when I've read the home agents' annual reports, and they're all on microfilm now at state archives and at the NC State University archives, that I would get these stories that women didn't always appreciate what they were being taught about cooking, for example. Or, I mean, did you ever meet resistance from women who thought, well, why are you here to teach me what I already know,
honey,
how to do?
Of course I did. They knew more than I did, they thought, you know. Why, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I had that. And same thing's true of when I taught, you know, how to can and that sort of thing. They had used that powder that preserves, embalms food. It is the same thing you use in embalming fluid. Mm. It really is. Salicylic acid. And so they had used that to preserve their foods. And you have to untrain that before you can convince them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had fun just convincing them. I'd tell